And one of the areas to look at as important involving blockchain is mobile payment systems. It is the latest and greatest way that we'll be able to pay for things, but security is never more important than right now. Sarab Sokhi is Managing Director and Chief Technology Leader for Verizon Wireless, and he joins us here at our table right now. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Thank you for having me over.
Thank you. For people that are just trying to get an understanding of what blockchain is, when you give those conversations, what do you tell people?
Well, it's a very, very new concept. It intuitively is very difficult to understand to begin with, but once one understands it, it is very, very very useful, and people generally confuse it with Bitcoin.
Okay. Right?
But really, blockchain is much more beyond Bitcoin. We found applications for blockchain that span across the industry, in different industries. You have manufacturing, you have services, you have as diverse as mobile network operators. We have use for blockchain in our area. And when we talk about blockchain, it's a very sophisticated database. It's a ledger, right, in the form of a database that's very secure, highly encrypted, cannot be hacked into easily. Mm-hmm. In fact, it's not been hacked when it comes to a Bitcoin world, right? The blockchain has not been hacked. So that gives us a new way of thinking about security, a new way of thinking about sharing information, new way of introducing process efficiency in our businesses, in our business processes, and cutting down cost as well as new business models. Right? That's what blockchain brings about.
But with people's concern about security, how is it that blockchain is so secure?
Blockchain involves very high level of cryptography. Right? Yeah. And this cryptography has been worked on for about a decade. Right? This is not something that's new,
right,
but it has morphed itself. And in the metamorphosis and improvisation and continuous improvisation over these years, blockchain has evolved itself to be a new database that is highly encrypted. And once it's deployed properly, it cannot be hacked into. And that sense of security, when is added into a participant pool, which is using the shared database, it adds to a lot of trust, number one.
Yeah.
Number two, identity. Your identity and the content of that participant is secure. This in itself, this reassurance that my identity as well as my content, be it movies or it could be information of my Internet of Things devices or right, it could be my device configurations, all this is very highly secure inside the blockchain, cannot be hacked, and it can be used only by the people that I choose to let access to this, have an access to this information.
Right.
And so these three, four things, right, make blockchain a very useful tool going forward in the IT world.
So it is obviously for a lot of people, it's been kind of, to a degree, slow getting going in terms of its use in a variety of different forms. It sounds like it's your expectation that we will see this used not only in the corporate world, but in the public in general, in a more frequent basis over the next decade or so.
Oh, sooner than a decade. In fact, you'll start seeing this happening in the next 3 to 4 years. We are looking at a cusp. There are a couple of things that are added to this whole mix, and what is the fuel to this?
Okay.
Number one, hacking and fraud are the two malaise that needs to be addressed, and blockchain addresses these two. Number two is the cost and the efficiency aspect, right? Blockchain gives us a promise of efficiency, process efficiency once deployed, right? That's number two. Number three is the hardware, the infrastructure. The infrastructure is there now to actually crunch and do the right kind of cryptography and decrypting as required, when
right,
required. We have the hardware and the resources now easily available at a cheap cost
right,
to actually perform. Right? That performance aspect was not there earlier. When you add so much encryption and so much decryption at different various areas,
right,
that efficiency was not there. But now the new hardware allows you to do this. Memory is cheap. And now these three, four things when put together, I think will bring blockchain off age in the next 2 to 3 years.
So then we will see this even more so, as you mentioned, with the Internet of Things, with all of the different connected home devices that, mm-hmm. that we have now. Mm-hmm. And we'll see some of the various hacking instances, like which happened recently where hackers broke through people's DVRs. Mm-hmm. We will see that potentially go away in the next few years.
Absolutely. See, what had happened in the Internet of Things world was that these devices were put together in a very short time, right? People put out their stacks, and IoT is very, very diversified at this time. The markets, the segmentation is very high. So standardization was not there, but now we're looking at standardization coming about, right? And so once these things are standardized, then that information about that IoT, that device, who owns it, who is responsible for it, the capabilities of the device, the stack that goes on that device, the version control on that device, all of that is going to be put inside a blockchain. So right. blockchain essentially addresses the hacking aspect as well as the manageability aspect as well as the profitability aspect. And not only that, it allows you to manage all your different pools of IoT. Now, IoT devices could be your drones, your devices in the house, or your devices in the enterprise.
Right.
All of these have come to a stage where you need a blockchain to go ahead and have a standard way of approaching, managing, as well as running artificial intelligence on these blockchains to get cognitive sense out of the data that these IoT devices are giving back to you.
Right.
Right? That's how what you've seen is I brought the three layers together, the right. IoT data, the big data, and then security through blockchain,
right.
and then cognitive intelligence coming out of this through artificial intelligence being run on that blockchain. Right. So this is the world that I'm looking at coming out in the next 2 to 3 years.
But this has to be a learning process, not only for people like yourself, mm-hmm. but if we're going to be using this more in the general public, this is a big step, learning step, I would think, for a lot of people that may not be, adept or adroit to using this type of a process, correct?
You're absolutely right, because complexity has its cost, right? But when they see the benefit of this, the adoption becomes very quick.
We are joined by Sourab Sokhi, who is a managing director and chief technology leader for Verizon Wireless. You're listening to Knowledge at Wharton here on Sirius XM 111 Business Radio, powered by the Wharton School. I think for a lot of people, addressing the security issue, if it's not point one, it may be 1A or 1B in the whole process because of what we see almost on a daily basis these days with various elements being hacked. And obviously, every industry out there, healthcare, banking, whatever it is worried about hacking and losing data right now.
Absolutely. And blockchain may perhaps be the answer to this. And done in a cheap, efficient, and a very simple way going forward.
How so?
Here is the simplicity aspect. What is happening is right now you are seeing blockchains of different kinds.
Okay.
What you will see is academia as well as enterprises all moving towards a standardized stack.
Okay. Right?
And that standardization effort has just started. Just like the internet world of 1994, where DARPA was early stages, you're seeing blockchain at that stage. That's where we are right now.
Right.
But this is going to go towards standardization. Once that stack gets standardized, you will see the complete evolution of blockchain and hence the new metamorphosis into blockchain coming off age.
So then, what role do governments potentially need to play in this process? If you're talking about a standardization, basically, of something that could be used across so many different business sectors, education, you mentioned, what role does government need to or is taking right now?
Right now, I think they're in the very early stages. There's a learning curve right now, right? As is with most of the enterprises. There's a learning curve, and then once the learning is complete, they need to encourage this. They need to bless us, right, when we go forward and not impose penalties or not create impediments in promoting such new developments. And then the third stage is they should actually go ahead and use it themselves, right? And that's the third stage where we would say we have reached utopia where the government is also using blockchain.
But the problem ends up being is the fact that the government, and I just go off of what we see on a daily basis coming out of Washington, is that the government usually is a couple of years behind. And I guess to a degree, if you can have them as almost like a partner in this process, then you don't lose that gap time.
Absolutely.
And that they are a part of this as it grows out.
Absolutely. You know, that gap partly the industry is responsible for it.
Right.
It behooves upon us, the innovators, to actually go ahead and educate them in a timely way,
right,
and be with them and handhold them through the process of investigation,
right,
and to show them how much value this will in turn bring to them. It will actually simplify their lives too. Right?
You mentioned about how this is going to be involved with a lot of things that people will use on a day-to-day basis, mm-hmm, going forward. A part of this that is already kind of evolving right now is through the banking sector. Mm-hmm. Big banks are starting to use this more, but they're using it more in their internal processes. Mm-hmm. We will start to see that be used more as outreach to customers, mm-hmm, in the near future as well.
Sure,
right?
Sure. What you'll see is accountability go up, right? For example, there's a new thinking around provenance, right? An aircraft is being manufactured. Every part that goes into that aircraft or that machine, for the sake of an example, any machine that's being built, every part, the provenance of that part will be in a blockchain, right? Could be in a blockchain. Where was it built? Who tested it? Who built it? In case of failure,
right,
there will be accountability. There will be recourse.
Wow.
There will be complete traceability. And all that, how do you do that? You do it through a blockchain, right? Because that accountability and fairness to the process adds to the quality of our life.
Well, for people that don't know the history behind this, how did blockchain really get started?
It started through Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And in fact, let's step back a little bit. You know, encryption of databases is not new.
Right.
And we've been trying, there's different, you know, lots of different projects happened in the academia as well as in the enterprise world, where databases were encrypted and protection against, you know, people with malintent was always very, very high. Bitcoin actually brought it to life.
Right.
And it actually made it famous. It gave it the visibility that blockchain deserved. And
because Bitcoin is still, it's such a small piece, yeah, to this whole process. And I think even to a degree, it feels like Bitcoin is having a bit of a harder time getting going than blockchain is.
Absolutely. And blockchain, people identify value, right? And once they identify the value and they see that there's a different way this could be exploited to my advantage, I'm going to do that, right?
Right.
So that's human mentality. That's biology. You know, that's how people think, right? They cherry-picked what was of use, and then they'll run with it. And that's exactly what's happening with blockchain.
The fact that we are associated with the University of Pennsylvania, mm-hmm, how is this going to change education, do you think?
Absolutely. So there is a big effort. I read about Harvard Business School. Pardon me, not Harvard. It was MIT.
Right.
MIT has actually gone ahead and put credentials on blockchain. Right. So you're
for the people working there.
Working.
Wow.
Not only that. Not the student credentials.
Oh, okay.
So there is a lot of effort there that they have put in. A lot of good work done by very good people there, and so you will see academia moving towards putting degrees, your credentials, and then opening it up to verification by the right authorities.
Right.
So if you are allowed to come into my blockchain and take a look at it, we will allow you to check on a student. For example, legal bodies, mm, who have the authorization, who will have the authorization, they will be able to check on a person's credentials and verify. So anybody applying for a job, and so this recruiter needs to check on this person, they will be able to go to the blockchain and get verified, trusted information.
So this is something that, as kids are going through high school and into college, it almost becomes a necessary piece to education as they're getting ready to head out into the real world so that they can, to a degree, hit the ground running and understand what it is so that, you know, these are processes that are going to be in place and used by pretty much everybody in the next couple of years.
Absolutely, and one has to be very careful that any wrongdoing will also go into the blockchain, right?
Right.
And so any malintent, malfunctioning, or anything abnormal will also go into the blockchain. And so that brings about credibility, trust, and it brings about accountability. Right, for your actions, you're responsible for what you're doing, right?
Right.
So anybody who's trying to do nefarious things, you know, they will be discouraged seriously.
Saurabh, nice meeting you. Thank you very much for coming over today.
A pleasure was entirely mine. Thank you.
Thank you. Saurabh Sokhi, Managing Director and Chief Technology Leader for Verizon Wireless.